Welcome to the Digging Deep podcast, where we offer bereavement bites for time-pressed professionals. I'm Heather Keitley, the president and CEO of GFD. Today on our podcast, we are airing a recording of our panel discussion held at our Greenside Up event, where we will be discussing current challenges and opportunities for Ontario cemeteries.
My name is Bill Solomon, and I am a director of GFD. I've been on the GFD board since 2019. And as Paul has alluded to, I am a retired actuary. And you're going to say, what's an actuary? Well, that's someone who didn't have the personality to be an accountant. I am delighted to join you this afternoon for an insightful panel discussion. So let me take a moment to introduce our panel. On far left is Heather Keitley, President and CEO of GFD, who's been introduced to you already. It says here, panelist number two is Megan Hennings, but I think that's Paul Taylor. And thirdly is Megan Hennings, who is General Manager of Lakefield Cemetery. Okay, so I have a number of questions that have been given to me to ask the panelists. And the very first question involved some demographic categories, which I must admit I was not familiar with in terms of how distinct they were. And it was talking about Canadians who were millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers. Now, I'm sure we've all heard those terms, but we may not be sure who they are. So let me refresh you. I'm a baby boomer. Well, not quite. I cheat by about 6 months. But baby boomers are people born between the years 1946 and 1964. I was born in 1945, which makes me part of what is called the silent generation. But anybody who knows me would never put me in the category of silent generation. So baby boomers were born post-war. They are the largest cohort of people in the country. So the baby boomers, if you look at a graph, are just huge blip up and then it normalizes again. And I think, Mr. Taylor, you may be part of that group as well.
I'm at the other end of the scale.
Yeah. Yes. Next are the Gen Xers. Gen Xers are people born from 1965 to 1980. So that would be, I guess, a large part of the group that's here today. The next group are called the Millennials, or sometimes called the Gen Yers, born 1981 to 1995.
That's good representation here.
They would be generally the children of the baby boomers. And we call them Gen Zs, but I guess Gen Z doesn't work quite as well. 1997 to 2012. And there's a new cohort now that are called Gen Alpha. I guess we got tired using the English alphabet, so we're now using the Greek alphabet, and those are people born from 2012 onward. Now, these are groups of people that people who do studies try to lump together as if they're all the same. I have three daughters, all of whom are millennials, and they're all very different, but for statistical purposes, they all get lumped together for their attitudes. 70% of Canadians in the millennial, Gen X, and baby boomer group, so that is basically people born before 1996, prefer cremation over traditional burial. How does this affect cemeteries going forward, given that attitudes towards burial versus cremation is definitely changing?
Start with Megan.
Okay. Start with Megan.
Obviously, we're all cemeterians in the room. We're all seeing the struggle of, lack of income because people aren't buying lots. People aren't necessarily even using cemeteries. So we're seeing that huge struggle right now with cremation. And, we're having to be a lot more creative and getting people into the door to buy, lots, to buy niches, to buy whatever we have to sell them, basically. I do think, however, in the future, that might change. People might go back to burial. I think we're seeing, changes in the demographics themselves. I always find that kids like to do the opposite of what their parents do. So it might be a really great thing for, you know, the boomers and Gen X to prefer cremation, but I don't know if that's always going to be the case. A lot of millennials, especially Gen Z, are more concerned about their environmental impact. And right now, with cremation, people are using a lot of fossil fuels. You know, they're potentially releasing pollutants into the environment, definitely carbon dioxide, and they're going to be looking for more environmentally friendly options. And we could see them move back towards burial or embracing things like green burial.
Before we move on, I want to make it one more question. I hate to sound like Columbo. There is one more question. Megan, you're in Lakefield, which is near Peterborough.
Yes.
Which is not as, I'll say, not as culturally diversified, say, as the GTA.
Yes.
And demographics is one thing, but culture is another. And do you think that what you are experiencing would be somewhat different from, say, what somebody would be experiencing in the GTA?
Oh, 100%. So, I mean, in my area, I would say the choice towards cremation is driven primarily between the perception of cost. So people perceive cremation as cheaper, and so they're opting to choose that option as opposed to full burial. Whereas, you know, in the GTA, I would say cremation is primarily culturally driven, as well as burial. So you have, you know, Sikhs, Hindus, Buddhists that prefer cremation and cremation witnessing services and things like that, whereas, you know, Italians, Eastern Orthodox Europeans, they're always choosing burial or, you know, entombment into like a mausoleum or crypt. And Muslims and Jewish people of the Muslim and Jewish faith are choosing burial due to cultural, well, due to their religious beliefs. So like in the GTA, you're seeing probably a wider swath of options, whereas in my area, I mean, we're probably 80-85% cremation in our demographic.
Heather, did you want to add to that?
I wanted to pick up on what you were saying earlier, Megan, about how the millennial generation may shift away from that idea of cremation. And the consumer research that GFD has done, and if anyone's interested in that research, you can just ask George. He'll make sure he gets it to you. I think bears that out, right? So we're starting to see that that is going to be changing. And I think that the immigration piece will be interesting too, right? Mm-hmm. And will those two things balance each other out, right? So that the generational shift might change things, but then that might be balanced out with immigration. But again, it might be regional depending on where you are. So I just wanted to throw my voice in to say this is for sure what we're seeing on the consumer research side, that millennials will be making different decisions. And how much will that influence their boomer parents? How, I guess you're not on the panel, but I'm going to ask you, how influenced are you by your millennial children?
It's interesting you should mention that. Because I'm a GFD board member, I've recently pre-planned my funeral. Being Jewish, burial is the only option. So we have funeral plots in one of the local cemeteries. And before I signed on the dotted line with Benjamin's, I discussed with them the option of cremation, which is something that is very rare, not prohibited, but very rare. And there's good reasons for that. One is environmental, you raised that issue. And the other is thinking back to the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were incinerated in Europe. And they're saying, do you want to be part of that group? Mm-hmm. And so we obviously decided on burial.
Mm-hmm. I always remember back when you ask a question like that and about what you're going to do about cremation, we all are affected by cremation. Some are affected positively, some are affected negatively. Some are affected, they think it's negative, they turn it into a positive. And it reminds me of one time sitting in New York City at a CANA, a Cremation Association of North America meeting, big meeting in the city. And there was a guy up there talking in the front. He was talking about cremation, how this is going to affect it. You're going to have to learn how to live with it. You're going to have to do this. And he's talking to a group of Americans, like 200-300 Americans. And all of a sudden at the end, I was almost falling asleep during his presentation, but because it wasn't anything to relate to us in Canada. And at the very end, he said something that woke me up. And he says, if you want to know more about cremation, what I suggest is there's three people from Canada in this conference here. Search them out and talk to them about how they're dealing with cremation in Canada, because we were doing it right. And I always remember that. It was about 20 years ago. I just always remember we're doing it right. So I think every cemetery, when it comes to the millennials, I look at them. They're still young. Like I'm a baby boomer. They're still young. And I know when I first started thinking about burials and that, when I was going to funerals, everybody's full-size burials. And then all of a sudden, I ended up getting a crematorium for the cemetery. And I started looking at cremation, saying cremation isn't so bad. Now I'm retired from the cemetery, and I think I'm going to change my religion to Jewish and become a full-size burial and be buried next to Bill. I think that's a kind of a nice idea.
Spend eternity next to Paul.
So what I'm saying is, I think if you think the changes are happening now, they've been happening for a long time, and they will continue to happen. I think there will be a peak at 85. I think 85% of the people, once we get cremation up to 85% of the people cremated, the rest of them will always be, the last 15% will always be full size. I've always believed that, and I think it's trending that way. Another thing I was taught in the early days, if you want to know what's happening in cremation, look at BC, because whatever's happening in BC, it's going to roll out to the east and get to Ontario eventually, because we follow their lead when it comes to funerals and to burials and things like that. So there's a lot of good ways. Look around normal regular cemeteries in your area, and you'll come up with some great ideas. Like Megan's got a great idea for a cremation garden with the butterflies in it. Blew my mind when I was visiting the cemetery. So there's lots of good ideas out there.
One of the reasons I thought cremation was becoming more popular is because in Europe, they're running out of space, that there isn't the space availability. That's not an issue in Canada. We have what? We have not the way it is in Europe. Is that one of the reasons why cremation is more popular, becoming more popular, because they're running out of space to use as cemeteries?
I don't know that is the reason for cremation becoming more popular. And I think probably Megan and Paul can talk a little bit more about the space issue than I can. But I think that cremation is certainly generational. So if you think about when cremation started getting popular, was at the time when boomers were in their formative years, and boomers were, of course, all about anti-establishment at the time, even though there's the establishment now. And they're, you know, all about doing things differently and doing things from alternative perspectives. So I think that from a cemetery perspective, planning for, you know, the boomers to be embracing cremation still is probably a really good thing to do. But then once you get past that cohort, the next cohort, I think you're probably going to see a swing back to probably not traditional burial, but perhaps something burial millennial style. So think like millennials celebrate everything. They have like gender reveal parties. You guys know how to live. Like millennials know how to live better. We're just cynical Gen Xers, you know, whatever. But they know how to celebrate, and they have rituals around everything. And I think that that's going to be a game changer for all of us once we get there.
I think the next step we go into, if we when I was in Australia, you might notice the same thing, Megan, when you're over visiting cemeteries, but they allow to have term burials. So you can buy a grave, and you can have that grave for 10 or 20 years or 40 years or something like that. But it's a term, and at the end of the term, they, after you either buy the grave and continue, or they remove the remains and put it into an ossuary. And I sat in Australia around a table about this size of the room, and all the municipal cemeteries, and the struggle they had was whether they were going to allow term burials or not. And I always thought that would be horrible, that will never happen. And I came back to Ontario and had another meeting with OECFP. Next thing you know, they're talking about, I know when they went to do the last legislation change, they almost put into the legislation to have term burials. But the next legislation change, they're going to put into the legislation to have term burials, whether cemeteries want them or not. That's going to be an option. And part of the reason for that is because there's more and more people wanting to be full size. Going back, they're going to change the reverse of that a little bit more.
I want to share one anecdotal story. This involves my late mother-in-law, who was cremated in Hamilton and is buried in a pioneer cemetery that is no bigger than this room. And I think she's buried on top of her sister. And if you look at where the cemetery is, it's probably one hunk of very valuable land that would make a lovely condo. And to your point, Hamilton, it's on Hamilton Mountain, is getting no revenue from that. And I guess these bodies are there in perpetuity. I don't want to be mercenary about it, but isn't there a more productive use of space? Megan, I think we talked briefly about alternatives to standard cremation and burial. Could you let us know what you guys are doing?
Well, we also have like scattering gardens at our cemetery. We're looking at developing a portion of land for green burial. So becoming kind of a hybrid cemetery situation where we have a certain area that we're using for green burial. So we would be using that land with the idea of limiting the types of containers that can go into the ground, whether it be just shroud or wicker. And then also looking at ways to rehabilitate the land so it's not a continuous, we're cutting the grass every day. You know, we're looking after monuments and things like that. It would be, a meadow or a wooded lot kind of area. So that we're looking at rehabilitating and using the land more in a natural way with some form of communal memorialization.
Is this something that's fairly common, or are you on the leading edge?
I'm definitely not on the leading edge. there are plenty of other cemeteries that are light years ahead of me, for sure, when it comes to green burial. A lot of cemeteries are starting to embrace, the green burial concept. I don't know. I think there's very few cemeteries that are completely 100% green burial cemeteries at this point. But a lot of them are embracing the hybrid structure, and it helps long-term with care and maintenance obligations, because you're not doing as much to the land long-term, so it helps your cemetery.
And asking a question that I don't know the answer to is, how does cost compare to traditional burial?
The most expensive grave we ever sold was to a cremation family.
The most expensive grave location
was to a cremation family. Yeah. So it doesn't really have an effect. It doesn't. If you price it right, if you price things properly, it won't have an effect. A cremation grave is going to, a smaller grave, let's say a grave, you can get three cremation graves if you're doing in-ground cremation graves. You get three on a single grave, 700 graves on an acre. Well, that just makes that acre now worth 2,100 burials when it comes to the cremation. So you'll be able to spread your land out longer. You'll be able to use your land longer. So the downside of cremation might be a little bit of income change. You'll have to price it properly so you get enough to cover the maintenance of your cemetery. But then on the long term, you're going to be able to sell more land. You're going to be able to sell, instead of 700 graves, you'll be able to sell 2,100 graves. Things like that in the future that will help off. And a grave today costs one price. A grave 20 years from down in the future is going to cost a whole lot more. It's going to keep going up with inflation. So your graves are always going to be more popular or becoming more expensive. I can think of a cemetery in Toronto that's limited how many graves they have, and they only allow, let's say, 100 graves a year to be sold. And they sell at one price, and they don't want any more than that to be sold. Everybody wants in there, but they sell 100 because they know next year they can increase the price, get more than inflation for it, and sell another 100. And then the year after that, they can sell another 100. So they've spread it out to try to make as much as they possibly can for the cemetery and make the cemetery last as long with an income. So there's different ways. That's someone thinking outside of the box. There are different ways to generate the income that you require, but it's important to know what's the income you do require. So you need to know your expenses. You need to know all the things that come, all the pieces of the puzzle that come up to the expense of the operating your cemetery for a year and annually. And you need to be, that's your target of what you want to get, whether it's your care and maintenance fund, doing changes with the care and maintenance fund to generate more, whether it's charging a little bit more for your graves, charging a little bit more for your opening and closing. All these prices can be justified if your expenses are that high. So it's not as if you're price gouging anything. You need that kind of those kinds of funds to be able to generate revenue into the next generation. For the millennials, because they're going to be a while coming, so we want to get sure there's enough property for them.
You want to turn on your size and get a word in edgewise after.
Certainly, I don't have anything to add to that. When it comes to revenue generation for cemeteries, this is for sure. The two folks beside me have tons of expertise there. I think just to go back to the idea of space and a shortage of space, would you say, I know both of you have been involved in many discussions on this, on the regulatory side, is that a GTA issue that where there's challenges with space, or is it something else that's going on?
We're now in our 2 seconds. We have a right next to us. We had a field right next to us. They're putting in condos right now in that. So we're now. We used to be when we moved out there in 1854. We were outside the city of Guelph, mm-hmm. and now
we're
I was. I came a week later. I just missed it by that much.